Today we want to think on the subject of living in the light of eternity. Our key verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, this verse is the close of the resurrection chapter, chapter 15. The chapter begins with the definition of the gospel, continues with a lengthy discussion of the importance of Christ's resurrection, the assurance and nature of the believer's resurrection, and then briefly describes the rapture of the church when we will be physically resurrected, and then ends with our text that I just read. A writer and pastor and noted speaker, Roy Loren, wrote this: "The resurrection gives a new meaning to life. It is no longer the frustration of life by death. What is the use of life if its efforts and endeavors are nullified by death and absorbed by the grave?" And the answer, of course, is no use. The Christian life has both a plan and a progress. Life is laid out on an eternal scale. Time merges into eternity. Thoughts, plans, and deeds do not end with the grave, but continue into another world. Life is not an exile's existence in an isolated world. Death transfers life to a higher and better plane. Death continues what life commences. Labor here becomes labor over there, and fellowship now is fellowship forever. Hence, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because such labor is not in vain in the Lord. The world tries to preempt the Christian philosophy of death. It dare not because it cannot. This philosophy is the exclusive property of the Christian. Have Christ and you will have a life laid out on the scale of eternity. Go out then to live, to love, and to labor. To live without love is to miss the greatest virtue. To live without labor is to miss the highest purpose. And that was the statement by Pastor Loren. And he basically describes what the very first word of our verse means. The very first word is therefore, because of the resurrection, or in the light of our resurrection. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, there are three things we want to think upon from this verse. We want to think on stand and abound and remember. First of all, stand. This verse says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable." Jesus reminded us in his high priestly prayer in John 17:17, where he said, "Thy word is truth." Yes, God's word is truth. The Bible is the word of the living and true God. It is the "thus saith the Lord." Jesus said, "I am the truth," and the Bible is the written message from him who is truth. We are to believe God's word, every word, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we see that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, our key verse, the word steadfast in 1 Corinthians 15:58, has the thought of a statue. Think of the Statue of Liberty out in the New York Harbor on Liberty Island. It stands firm, regardless of how strong the winds may be that blow against it, or how powerful an earthquake may be that tries to destroy its foundation. It has stood firm for over 135 years, in fact, since its dedication in 1886. Likewise, God wants us to stand firm upon His word. The word unmovable adds to being steadfast. It emphasizes it in a more powerful way. Don't be swayed to accept teaching that is wrong or watered down. Ephesians 4:13 gives us the thought to become strong in the faith, mature and Christ-like. Now Ephesians 4 and verse 14, I want to read that. Ephesians 4:14, and it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And then I want to read the third verse of Jude, and it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith refers to the body of truth, and Scripture says, stand firm upon it. Don't be moved or swayed from it. Defend it. Fight for it. Don't let any teaching, argument, or philosophy move you away from believing and standing upon the Word of God. Even though many churches are bowing to convenience and compromise, don't let that be true of you or any of us. Instead, may we stand firm upon the Word of God. Let us be steadfast and unmovable. Secondly, we want to think on abound, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now note the words used by Paul. He said, always abounding. And then he said labor. So we want to think on labor. And the word labor here has the thought of that which work that is fatiguing and exhausting. It means giving our all into God's work. Not just when we have time, after we have done everything else that we want to do, or not just when we can fit it into our schedule, or not just half-heartedly or reluctantly, or not just enough to be able to say we have helped or we have done something. The first two words we gave in this verse support this thought. They are steadfast and unmovable. And then notice the word always, not just once in a while or during some special program at the church, but always. May we have that reputation that God's work is of major importance to us. We are busy doing God's work. We are doing what God wants us to do. It is a priority in our lives. And then also, again, abounding has the thought of excelling, doing more than enough, going the second mile, actively serving the Lord. And this, again, expresses fervency in serving the Lord. Now, as Paul closed his letter to the Romans, he recognized certain believers who were characterized in this way that we just referred to in 1 Corinthians 15:58. In Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, he mentions a lady named Phoebe, and it says, she hath been a helper of many, and of myself also. And so the Apostle Paul mentions that not only has she helped many, but she helped him in his ministry. And then verses 3 and 4 mention Aquila and Priscilla. And it says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. And that means they risked their own lives that they might help the Apostle Paul. And then verse 6 refers to a woman named Mary, and it says, who bestowed much labor on us. And then verse 12 refers to two ladies, Tryphena and Tryphosa, and it says concerning them, who labored in the Lord. Or in other words, they labored to the point of exhaustion in order to help the Apostle Paul. And then there's another person mentioned in verse 12, and that is a lady named Persis. And it says she labored much. And that, again, has the thought of laboring to the point of exhaustion. So God says we should stand firm in the faith and always abound in His work. We might ask, is it worth it? How will we be able to pay our bills? We don't have time to do all the things I want to do if we live that way. But God says, not only stand firmly, but always abound. And we need to remember, thirdly, we need to remember, let this be an incentive for us. May this encourage us. Remember this. And again, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Such labor for the Lord is never a waste of time, is never overlooked or forgotten by the Lord, is never useless, unimportant, or worthless. Notice in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. And then another verse we want to look at in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 says this, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and notice, and their works do follow them." And the word follow has the thought of a company. In other words, when we go to be with the Lord, our works will not be forgotten, but they will accompany us there, and we will take them with us. We will take them a record of our deeds. I like what a young man said that was in one of the churches that I pastored. And after I left that church to go to another church, I received several letters from him, cards from him through the years. And each card had this on it. It said, "Every deed recorded, every deed rewarded." So in the light of eternity, and because that when we leave this life, we go to be with the Lord, we must stand true to God's word, we must abound in God's work, and we need to remember that which we do for him will be remembered and rewarded by the Lord. There's a song that we used to sing in several of the churches that I pastored, and it's entitled, "Speak, My Lord." And I want to read the three verses. "Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done." So as we close, let's remember again 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Yes, all that we do for the Lord will not be a waste of time. It will be rewarded, and not only will we experience great joy and peace now while we're alive, but when we get to heaven, we will hear those words by our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's something that I'm sure that each of us want to hear the Lord say, "Well done." Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had in your word. And Lord, I just pray that we might be faithful in living for you and in serving you. And I pray, Father, that our desire might be to live life in a way that it pleases you and it furthers your work. And when we get home to heaven, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.